We live in unusual days, turbulent, tumultuous days, with much uncertainty in the world around us, much confusion, much fear, many changes. And with all the uncertainty around us, with all the fears and the concerns and the worries, with all the worries about this coronavirus, which is having such an impact in the world, with all the worries about the economy as a consequence, with all the instability in many nations, with all the wars and the famines and the tragedies and the floods, with all the doubts and the fears, in what can we trust? And in whom can we trust? Can we trust the governments? Can we trust the advice and the wisdom of men? Can we trust ourselves? King Solomon, in the book of Proverbs, wrote these plain words, which we would do well to take heed of, whoever we are and wherever we are. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honour the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Whom can we trust? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Time and again, the psalmist in the Psalms speak of trust in God, of God being their rock and their shield and their refuge, their fortress, of blessing coming unto those who trust in the Lord, of safety and mercy from the Lord. Countless times in the Psalms we read of trusting in the Lord. Why? Because the psalmist, because David, because these men of God found by experience that God can be trusted. And that he's the only one who we can trust, who we can truly trust. Because he blesses those who trust in him. He is their rock and their salvation. David found refuge in the Lord. When the storms of life came upon him, when pestilence came upon him, when his enemies raged against him, when all manner of evil came to his door, David found refuge in the Lord. He trusted in his God, and his God looked after him. His God protected him. His God led him in the right way. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. He is a rock unto those that trust him. Trust in the Lord, Solomon writes in this verse, with all thine heart. Trust in the Lord. Where do you place your trust? For if it's not in the Lord and in the Lord alone, you'll find that trust to be broken. You'll find that trust to be misplaced. You'll find your hopes to be dashed and your fears to be realized. Trust in the Lord, we read, not in man, or in man's wisdom, or in the knowledge of man, or the direction of man. No, neither in chariots or horses, or the power or the strength or the might of man. Trust not in riches, for riches can be taken away. Trust not in the bow or the sword, the weapons of your warfare, which depend upon you. Trust not in self, nor your own heart, which will fail you. Trust not even in Moses and the law of God, which demands your own obedience, your own strength to keep it. Though God wrote that law and gave that law to man, trust not that salvation or that hope will come through the law or in your own strength. Trust not in your own efforts in religion to save you from opposition, to save you from trial and trouble. And trust not in thine own understanding. For your understanding, your knowledge, your wisdom won't save you when the storms of life come your way. Build not upon the sand, but upon the rock. Trust in the Lord, whom David proved to be a rock upon which he could not be moved when the storms came. Many there are that are building upon sand in this day and at this hour. How fearful men are of that which is outside of their control. When illness, when disease, when death comes to their door, oh, how they will run about doing this and doing that and fearing the judgment that comes their way, but never recognizing from whence it truly comes or why it truly comes. Why do these judgments come upon us? Because of our sin and our rebellion against the Holy God, who in grace and mercy declares to a fallen world that sin will be judged, and the wages of sin is death. The consequence of rebellion and unbelief is death, whether it comes sooner or later. But the answer to death is in the gospel of Christ and the death of God's own Son, who came into this world to offer himself as a sacrifice for sinners, to take their place, to die the death they deserve to die, to swallow up the judgment due unto their sins, that through him they might be forgiven, washed of their sins, washed in his blood, clothed with everlasting righteousness, having eternal life in him. You may fear what a day may bring. You may fear what disease might come to your door tomorrow. But do you recognize that your sin is the cause of your death? Whether you live to be 100 or whether you die as a child, whenever it comes, it's coming. And it's coming because of sin. And the answer to sin is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. But how many fear the judgment? How many fear the disease? How many live in fear of death, but they don't fear the God that stands the other side of the grave? And they don't own that it's their sin that brings this upon them. And they place their trust in everything and everyone but the one who can truly save them. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. With all thine heart, wholly in the Lord, not partly in him and partly in man, not partly in him and partly in yourself, but trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Not in man, not in man's wisdom, not in chariots, not in horses, not in the bow, not in the sword, not in riches, not in self, not in our own hearts. Psalm 118:8 reads, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Man is weak. Man's a sinner. Man is fallen into rebellion against Almighty God. Why do you trust in men? They're as wicked as you are. They break promises like you do. They tell lies like you do. They're no stronger than you are. Trust in the Lord. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. Oh, you say, well, I know that I can't solve these problems, and I know that my neighbour may not be able to solve these problems, but the government, the leaders, they know how to solve it. They have the power. They have the resources. They have the scientists that advise them. They can deal with it. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. We see laid bare in the world around us that even the greatest of nations and the greatest of leaders cannot stop that which is outside of their control. When God sends a disease, he's in control. And he sent far greater diseases than what we see today. This is a gentle reminder of what could be. How many died under the great plague in a former day? How many have died through many of these diseases, these terrible things that have come, these terrible plagues that have come throughout the generations? Man cannot stop them. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Oh, what a warning. Not only is there no help in man, not only is it better to put your trust in the Lord than your confidence in man, but God says in this place, Jeremiah 17:5, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm. If you trust in man, another man or yourself, another man's strength or your own strength, if you trust in man, you're under a curse. You'll be cursed. You'll fail. You'll die. Man has no answer for his own sin. He's dead. He's dying. Every man you put your trust in a few years' time will be gone. We're all dying, and we're dying because of the sin that rages in our hearts. Our lives in this world are brief. We are walking towards the grave because of the curse of sin that reigns within us. By one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. If your heart goes another way, if you trust yourself or your own strength or the strength of man and the wisdom of man, and your heart is not set upon God, if your trust is not in God, then you are under a curse. You shall surely die. In the day that thou eatest the fruit of this tree, thou shalt surely die. Elsewhere in the Psalms we read that some trust in chariots and some in horses. Some trust in the power and the might of man, in the things man builds, in his control of horses and those things in nature that he can harness to his own ends. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Oh, how the foolish laugh and sneer at those that follow Christ and his gospel. Oh, how the world mocks and scoffs at those that honour God, those that trust in his name. But oh, how many of them perish in their sins. How they laughed at Noah when he built that ark. And yet they all perished in the storm. And Noah and his family, but 8 people chosen out of this world, were delivered. You can laugh at the gospel all you like. You can mock those that follow God. But your destruction is set if you have departed from the Lord. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. There's no salvation in riches. Or you might be able to buy the best place to live. You might be able to buy the best medical care. You might be able to buy the advice of men. You might be able to buy so many things, but it merely delays the inevitable. Even the richest man cannot buy eternal life. Even the richest man cannot buy forgiveness of his sins. Even the richest cannot buy salvation. For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me, the psalmist says. Trust in the Lord. Christ himself in John's Gospel says unto the religious, unto the Jews, who would not trust him, but trusted their religion, trusted their tradition, trusted their law keeping, trusted in themselves and their own self-righteousness. He says, do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. You turn to the law. You turn to Moses because you think if you live a certain way, God will be pleased to honour you and deliver you from all your trial and your trouble. You think that salvation comes through your religion and your obedience and the way you live and how separated you are from the world and how honouring of God you are by your own zeal and your own efforts. But Moses and the law condemn you. Because your outward obedience isn't good enough. In your hearts, you break that law every day. In your hearts, you are afar off from God. Whatever appearance of righteousness you might put on before others, you can go to every meeting. You can spend many hours in prayer and Bible reading. You can do all the right things and say all the right things. But God sees inwardly. And Moses' law sees inwardly. And finds you out. It finds out every failing because that law will condemn you unless you keep it in every jot and tittle, in every point. Constantly, continuously, every day of your life, from the day you're born to the day you die. You cannot keep it. Oh, there are many that care not for the things of God, who trust in man, who'll find to their ruin and despair that God's judgment comes upon them in the end. But there are many yet who think they serve God, who think that they have accepted Jesus into their heart, who think that God will be pleased with them, who are trusting in their own religion, trusting in their own works, trusting in their own decision, trusting in Moses, who will find themselves condemned by the very law they strive to keep, by the very religion they seek to uphold, because they've never truly come to God. It's all outward. It's all a show before man. It's all in their own pride and wisdom. Religion won't save you. The gospel will. Christ will. And only Christ can. Only his blood can wash away your sins. And only God-given faith can cause you to lay hold of that blood and be cleansed of that blood. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, Solomon writes elsewhere in Proverbs. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. Do you trust in your own heart, in your own understanding, in your own wisdom? Are you so confident in your own beliefs and your own wisdom about things and your own knowledge of things? If you do, you're a fool. The child of God knows he's nothing. The child of God knows he's a sinner. The child of God knows he can get nothing right. The child of God knows he's hopeless and lost, and his only hope is in God. His only hope is in God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and in his blood. He clings on by faith, and that faith is a gift of God. He knows his own heart blows hot and cold. He knows his own heart is full of wickedness. He knows his only hope is entirely outside of himself, entirely in Christ and his gospel. Because he knows what he is. As Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. We had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. What a place to come to. What a knowledge. You must come this way. You must come a way in which God experimentally teaches you that the sentence of death is in yourself. That your sin has slain you. That your sin condemns you. That your unbelief has set you apart from God. There's nothing good within. There's nothing good in your own heart. There's nothing good in yourself. The sentence of death is there. And when you come to see that, when you come to know that, you will cease to trust in yourself. But you will lay hold upon God and only upon God. You will seek his mercy. You will cry out for mercy. Oh God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Help me, for I am lost, I'm undone, I'm corrupt from head to toe. The sentence of death is in me. I have sinned, as David said, against thee and thee only have I sinned. Yes, I've wronged man. Yes, I've done this, but it's all against God. And his judgment rains down upon my sin. The sentence of death is in me. And yet, who writes this? Who writes this to the Corinthians? Who writes these words? Born from experience. Paul does. And Paul elsewhere tells us that of all people, if there was any confidence he could have had in the flesh, if there was any confidence he could have had in self, he was the one that could have had it. He was a Pharisee. He was raised up in religion. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, he writes. If any other man thinketh that he have whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. If you're going to turn to religion, if you're going to turn to the law, if you're going to turn to some confidence in yourself or in your flesh, or in your own obedience to God, or your own obedience to the law, then you'll never do better than Paul did. You'll never do better than Saul of Tarsus did. He might have had confidence in the flesh. He had something he could look to and say, well, yes, I was obedient. Yes, outwardly I did this and I did that. I was born of the right stock. I was circumcised by my parents on the eighth day. I was born of the stock of Israel. I have the right upbringing, the right lineage. I was born in the tribe of Benjamin. I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. And as a man touching the law, I was a Pharisee. I was full of zeal for the things of God. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, I was blameless. If you think that you, by your own efforts in religion, can make yourself right with God, if you think you can have some confidence in the flesh, some confidence in what you've done, it's not as much as me. Yet he tells us, but what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. What things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Far from getting me closer to God, far from delivering me from my fears, far from delivering me from condemnation, they condemned me more. I was full of pride. These things puffed me up. They didn't deal with the real problem. Though outwardly I might have appeared one way, inwardly I was still full of sin. The sentence of death was in me, that I should not trust in myself, but in God which raiseth the dead. Trust in the Lord, and lean not unto thine own understanding. What leads to such trust? What takes a dead sinner and brings them to trust in the Lord? By nature, none of us do. By nature, we follow man. We trust man. We trust the might of man. We trust ourselves. We trust our own strength. We trust our own wisdom. By nature, we go one way. None of us seeks God. None of us trusts God. None of us believes God. We haven't got time for him. We don't care for him. We think we know better. Then what leads to such a change in our understanding? What takes a man that's going one way and turns him 180 degrees and sends him back another way? What takes us when we're fleeing from God to turn around and walk before God and seek God? What leads us unto Christ? What leads us unto salvation? What makes us trust? The gospel does. The hearing of faith does. The intervention of God does. There comes a day when he comes unto us wherever we are and preaches his gospel to us and reveals his truth unto us. He makes us to see that which we could not see. He comes and touches our blind eyes and we open them. And we see. He comes and touches the lame, and the lame do walk. He touches the ears of the deaf, and the deaf do hear. He comes unto the graveside and says, come forth. And we live, and we come forth. Nothing but the gospel can make you or I turn from our sin. Turn from the deception and the corruption of sin and trust in the Lord. Paul writes in another epistle to the Ephesians of the trust he and they have in God. He writes, God trusted in Christ. He writes in chapter 1 and verse 12 that we should be to the praise of his glory, God's glory, the Father's glory, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. God's work in us, God's work in sinners whom he's chosen unto salvation, under whom he comes with the preaching of his gospel, whom he delivers from their sin, whom he quickens to life by his Spirit, whom he causes to be born again by the Spirit through the preaching of the gospel. God's work in us is such that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom we also trust, after we hear the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation, in whom also we believe. And having believed, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. What causes us to trust in God? The hearing of the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation. We will never trust in God until we're brought to hear this word and this gospel. It's this truth of God and his sovereign saving grace, his free grace and mercy in Christ, the substitutionary death of Christ in the place of his people. It's this gospel of salvation which will bring us to trust in the God who trusted in his Son, who brought in salvation for his people. Have you heard this gospel? Have you heard this truth? There is nothing more vital to your soul than to hear this gospel and be brought by God to trust and believe this gospel, to trust and believe in Jesus Christ, and to follow him, trusting and resting in him alone. Every word of God is pure, Solomon writes elsewhere in Proverbs. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. His word brings them unto faith. It gives them that trust. And having given them that trust, they continue to hear him, and they continue to hear every pure word from his lips, which shields them from all opposition, from all trial, from all trouble. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Now, no man puts their trust in God until he, by grace, preaches his gospel unto their souls, brings this pure word of God in truth unto their understanding, opens their ears to hear it and their eyes to see their Saviour crucified for them, when he comes in the gospel in power and puts faith in the heart to believe, then we trust. Then we trust. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Until that day, all our leaning is upon our own understanding. Until the day comes that God opens our eyes to the truth and puts faith and trust in the heart in him, All our leaning is towards our own understanding. And if you know not Christ, if you reject his gospel this day, it's because you're leaning upon your own understanding, which will damn you eternally. Because there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but it leadeth unto destruction. It will damn you. Trust not in man. Trust not in chariots and horses. Trust not in the bow and the sword. Trust not in princes. Trust not even in Moses. Trust in the Lord. Christ trusted in the Lord. And it is through his trust, his faith in God, that we are saved. It is his trust, his faith in God, when he hung upon the cross in the darkness at the hour of greatest need, that brought about the salvation of his people. His opponents, his enemies, when they saw him upon the cross, jeered and mocked him and cried out, "He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God." They mocked him. They knew that he trusted in God. They'd seen his life. They'd seen his witness. They'd heard his words. They knew whom he trusted. They knew whom he followed. And here they have. They've got him. They've taken him. They've nailed him to a cross. And they laugh and they mock and they say, "Well, you trusted in God before. Let God deliver you now." And they watched as he suffered and as he died. And then the darkness came upon him when God laid upon him the sins and the sin of the world, the sins of his people and the sin of the world, as it was laid upon him. And the darkness came down upon him because the light was taken away. Because he became sin in the sinner's place. And the judgment and the wrath of God's fires came down upon him. The fires of God's wrath came down upon him. And he suffered in the darkness. Even in that hour. Even at that point of time. Even though God was bruising him and beating him, even though the Father's wrath against the sin that was laid upon him came down upon him in full ferocity, Christ still trusted. He still believed. He knew that this would bring about the salvation of all his people. "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," he cries. "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" But despite the cry, despite the fact that God's face was turned from his own son, Christ knew why he was forsaken, because of the sin that he bore. And he knew that when it was taken away, when the price was paid, when every drop of God's wrath had been poured out upon every last sin of God's people, Christ knew that then the light would return. Then his Father's face would return unto him in love and mercy. He knew that his trust would be rewarded. He knew his faith would be rewarded. He knew he would see the satisfaction of his soul. He knew that everyone whose names were written upon his heart, everyone for whom he suffered, would be brought through the storm, would be brought through the storms of death, would, as it were, in the ark, in the storms that Noah went through, would be brought through the storms and come out the other side on dry land. He trusted in God. His faith was rewarded. And God the Father trusted in him that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. God, looked upon his son as he beat him upon the cross, and he trusted that he'd endure to the end. They covenanted, they promised to bring about salvation. And the son trusted his father in the darkness, and the father trusted his son. And that faith was rewarded. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. This trust that Christ had was single-hearted. He trusted God with all his heart. And God's people, David, Job, Paul, trusted God with all their heart. No matter what the circumstance they were in. It's easy to trust or give an appearance of trusting in a sunny day, in fine circumstances. But faith is seen. Faith is proved in the darkness, in the storm, in the pestilence, in the fire. It's when Christ hung upon the cross that his faith was magnified. Job trusted in God in a fine day before the storms came upon his house and family and himself. But he also trusted when everything was taken away. And he cried out, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. But I will maintain mine own ways before him. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Even if he should send me to hell that I deserve because of my sins, I will still trust in him. He is God. He's done all things right. There's no one else to trust. I will still trust him. I will still praise him. If he sends me to hell, I will say he's done the right thing. This is the cry of faith. This is the trust of one who's been brought to know God. This is the trust of one who's had the sentence of death pronounced in themselves, that they should not trust in themselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. This is the cry of one that believes in a God that raises the dead. Why was Christ's faith true to the end? Because he knew that though he was dying, and though he would die, God raises the dead. How could Job say, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him? Because he believed in a God that could raise him from the dead. How did Saul of Tarsus, Paul, believe in his God when all men raged against him? Because he believed in a God that raises from the dead. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Man can do anything to you, and you may fear men, but men can't save you. Fear the Lord, who can either send you to hell forevermore because of your sin, or who can deliver your soul from the grave and raise you from the dead because of the death of his son in your place. To where do you look for help? From whence do you look for salvation? In whom do you trust? Where is your faith? In what do you believe? Believe in the gospel. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and ye shall be saved. Trust in him and in his word. Trust in the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Trust in the Lord.